Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up, we're going to talk to former Giants pitcher Bill Lasky, who works for KNBR, NBC Sports Bay Area, and also is doing some work as an analyst on the Sacramento Rivercats telecast. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Bill, it couldn't have gone worse for the Giants starting pitchers in their series in Cincinnati. I mean, I don't know how the Giants win two out of the four games. Well, actually, I do. They had incredible comebacks in two of the games. But to get starting pitching the way they had, where they gave up 27 runs, it was just killer. And I don't know, maybe I hate the idea of an opener, but maybe that's where the Giants should have gone with in Cincinnati, the way things are going. What do you think?
Well, Joe, it sure seems like it was an opener because some of that bullpen was in early, and Pomerantz just couldn't get anything down. He was lit up the last game, and the bullpen was used. New guys coming in from Sacramento to fill spots because they didn't have enough arms. So now, you know, they split with Cincinnati, a lot of runs given up, and a lot of runs they got. Their offense was scoring. But now they're going to Colorado with another series where a lot of pitchers will be used.
Some strange things were happening, too. I mean, you had the delay because of the bees. I don't know that we've seen that very often. You also had Pablo Sandoval pitching a scoreless inning again, stealing a base. His name mentioned with Christy Mathewson, the Hall of Famer, for doing that. You know, a home run, a steal, and a scoreless inning. I mean, that was strange right there. And I guess, you know, you hate to get blown out, but it is fun to see Pablo out there, right, on the mound?
Well, it was fun for the home run and the steal, but the only thing I can say from a pitcher's aspect, when I see a utility player or a third baseman going to pitch, that means you're getting blasted. And at that time, the team was well in doubt to lose that game. That's the only thing, you know, that was fun to see. But as a pitcher perspective, the pitchers on that staff are really upset to see something like that because, you know, that's an inning that a bullpen should have used, somebody else uses, but you know, you just don't want to see a player pitch in any kind of game.
I'm curious what you think about what Tim Flannery was saying about the mounds there in Cincinnati, because the bullpen mound apparently is higher than the game mound. And if that's the case, that would be tough for pitchers going out there. I mean, that, you know, you saw a lot of balls left up by all of the starting pitchers for the Giants.
What's bad about that, Joe, is you only have five pitches when you get on the mound to adjust to that mound. And a lot of times your pitching coach might say, hey, you know, it's flatter on the mound, make sure you get enough throws. Well, you only get five. And, you know, you throw a couple breaking balls, a fastball, now you have to locate a little lower. I can remember in Philadelphia, Don McMahon used to say, the bullpen mound is shorter to home plate than it is. It's not 60 feet, 6 inches. So when you're warming up, you're throwing your breaking ball, and your breaking ball is right on the outside corner, nice pitch, and then you get on the mound, and it's all low. So there was tricks and trades back in the day. I can see Cincinnati doing that just in the point of having a flatter mound when you get out there because that place is a launching pad. But it shouldn't be that way. Everything should be now in the big leagues the same and being fair in bullpens as well as regular mounds as well as anything that goes on in the game of baseball.
You know, I'm curious what you think about the mindset of some of the pitchers when they do get crushed like that, because, you know, a guy like Jeff Samardzija,
he can handle it. He proved it in the same game. I mean, right after the back-to-back-to-back home runs, then he figured something out there and, you know, something in his mechanics, and he was fine. But mentally, a guy like Derek Rodriguez, he looks like it's not going to bother him. I wonder about it. And Tyler Beede, the guy comes up for a start, gets crushed, has to go back down to AAA where he was pitching well. But how does that affect a pitcher? I know for you, you know, you can relate to these things, but everybody's different in their personality.
You're absolutely right. The younger pitcher has to bounce back, and sometimes you don't want to look at the box score when you have a bad outing because the next game you have to turn it around. And Derek Rodriguez did not have a good game against the Yankees, so I was really looking for him to have a bounce back game, but he's still having a lot of trouble with location on his pitches. And as you know as well as I do, last year he was sensational. I think it was 16 out of 19 starts where they were quality starts, six innings, three runs or less. And this year he's having a hard time to get to the fifth inning. So those are things that mentally you have to adjust to as a young pitcher. Hopefully a Madison Bumgarner or even a Jeff Samardzija will go over to him and talk to him. A pitching coach may get him in a corner and look over film and see what went right, what went wrong. On the other side, Beede just threw in sensational in Sacramento under a two-pointer in run average, gets the first two guys out, and after that he just couldn't get any kind of rhythm going, got the ball up, changeups right over the plate. And it was sad to see that because he's really worked hard over the winter in conditioning and taking that light to go to AAA and pushing himself to have good numbers to get that opportunity. So we'll see how he changes coming back to AAA, if that's the focus is going to be right back, and just more or less having a bad outing. He has to look at it that way and not ruining his chances to get back to the big leagues.
Because it really is hard. You know, you get judged right away when you're in the major leagues, and then people are going to say, well, you know, that's the difference. He can't pitch in the big leagues. He can only pitch in AAA. And, you know, that's not true. That's not always true, maybe for some players, but there's that stigma, I guess, that happens until you prove it at the big league level, right?
Yeah, they always say it's hard to get to the big leagues, but it's harder to stay there. You've heard that line. A lot of people say it, but it's true. Because the adjustments, the hitters, the game's a little faster, crowds, loudness, everything type of expression that you can have when you get to the big leagues, it is faster. You go down to AAA, you see guys bouncing around, you kind of see the same kind of rosters. But when you get to the big leagues, when you're looking at 3, 4, 5 in the order, these guys can pounce on a fastball. It's 97, 98, breaking ball. They see sequences of pitches, and they'll jump on you. And that's what happened to Tyler Beede.
All right, you've been doing AAA games, Sacramento River Cats, there with my buddy Johnny Dosco, okay, you know, on television. And, you know, you've gotten the chance to see Mack Williamson. Now, I know you did a telecast over the weekend. It was before the big Mack Williamson 3-home run game and the 511-foot home run. But, man, this guy is tearing it up. I mean, the Giants have to be taking notice, even though I know that he's not on the 40-man roster. They got to, you know, figure some things out to get him back to the big leagues. But, I mean, he's got to be really opening up eyes. I mean, Farhan has to be looking at him, right?
Well, Joe, they just did call him up today.
I didn't see that yet. Okay,
yeah,
there,
they
yeah.
did that today. They brought him up. They called him up late last night, so he will be in Colorado. Now, what I did in the past few weeks going up there, I got to know Mack last year after the concussions, had some great conversations with him, and I got to see him as soon as he got back to Sacramento, and we just kind of chatted, and he says, what do you think? And I go, there's nothing you can think. The only thing you're going to prove is you have to prove yourself to the Giants organization once again. You know, you got released, you got DFA'd, you were gone, they brought you back. Now you have to prove them wrong. And the only way you can do it is performance. And, boy, he has put a performance on in AAA, and now he's getting that opportunity again. And a good guy, good heart, good soul, good baseball guy, and I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, I mean, it really is great to see. And it was a shame to see last year because he was rolling and then he hits his head in the bullpen mounds. And that's a whole other discussion whether or not the mound should be moved. A lot of people talking about that. And that would be Exhibit A as to why that you would move them, because that was really a shame that you had to deal with all the concussions. And it's been a long battle for him after that.
I just believe they need to change that. I don't know about the fences coming in, but the bullpens need to be moved. And it's not just Mack Williamson. You know, you saw Duggar this year with a knee problem. You saw a couple other, you know, Will Myers miss a ball because he was looking at the mound as he was coming in, simple fly ball. So it's in those minds of those outfielders. So do you go as hard as you can and then jog? I mean, the game of baseball is so fast, and these guys are so quick to the ball. Now you got obstacles, and you got to look at that mound. It could be a season-ending injury like it did to Max. So I think the Giants need to look at that. There's only three teams that have mounds on the field. That's Oakland. Now, Oakland's totally different because it feels so large. Tampa Bay and the Giants. So hopefully the Giants will look at that and move those mounds. That was a Peter McGowan thing when they first brought the ballpark from Candlestick over. He loved it from the energy of the past years. And I just think there's just too much injury and too many things that could happen. And you don't want to get any ball players from that.
We'll continue the conversation with Bill Lasky right after this. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right. Just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. As far as Mack Williamson is concerned, it brings to mind a sort of a discussion. And I know, again, this is something that you can relate to. When you've got a general manager who comes in and he's got sort of this idea of how he wants the organization to go and the players that he wants to bring in, I feel for the minor leaguers that were there, you know, under the previous regime, because they're really going to have to shine, it seems, because, you know, you got the new baseball operations person who he doesn't really know these guys. And it's kind of, you know, where he loves his new guys sort of thing. Do you get that feeling? And how difficult is that for a player?
100% correct. And those guys that he's brought in, Mike Gerber being one, that was the first player he picked up off waivers. These guys are going to get opportunities because those, in quotations, are his guys. The players that were left behind, the guys that are fighting to a position to get back to the big leagues, those are the guys that understand, I got a battle here. Ty Block, another guy that was in the big leagues for the last few years, now he's battling back in the AAA, got brought back up in a real hard situation of eating up innings, and he got pelted pretty good with the Dodgers. And when you get brought back down there, you're just like, wow, you know, that was a nightmare. But I think these guys all understand it now. AAA, AA, the rosters are so full, and new names, new guys are just being added by the day. And it's Farham just trying to build that minor league system and trying to find that little nugget that he saw like they did in the Dodgers, and that's what he's trying to build here.
You know, a couple of the guys that I was sort of having in mind, Austin Slater, because, you know, he was showing what he could do under the previous regime, and I think he's proving himself again at AAA. He's hitting over 300. Chris Shaw is another guy. He's got all that power, but they sent him to AA, which had to be disappointing for him.
Both Slater and, as well as Williamson and Shaw, I think the number one thing that they were trying to get them to do was the strikeout to the walk ratio. Talking to Mac, they wanted him to walk more. They didn't want him being so aggressive. He changed that, and that proceeded to make his at-bats worthy enough to hit home runs, doubles, RBIs. Same thing with Slater. Slater was one of the first guys that were taken out of spring training, and I think that just kind of irked him a little bit. The last 2 weeks, he's hitting the ball all over the park, playing all different positions, too. They had him playing second base the other day, so he is definitely that utility guy that Farham likes. Now, with Shaw, I was very surprised him going to AA, but that was another thing. Too many strikeouts, enough walks, getting on base, OPS. They wanted him to improve. It took him a little bit, but now he's starting to proceed just like what we saw. He's got that quick bat, and he's hitting a lot of home runs down in Richmond.
Well, the Giants are just so hungry for an outfielder that can hit for power. I mean, hopefully Mac is the answer, but, you know, they need more depth in that area, obviously. I mean, it's just such a weakness. And you know, obviously we're talking about how the pitching struggled in Cincinnati, but overall this season, that would be the area you'd point to, is that the lineup is just not what it needs to be, because the pitching wasn't so bad, and the bullpen definitely has been pretty good.
And you know, when you look at the June draft, Joe, a lot of it, they go after pitching. It's always been pitching rich in the draft. I think what's going to change now, I think they're going to have to start looking at some outfielders, college players, maybe some younger guys to develop as a power-hitting outfielder. So we'll see how far Am adjusts to the draft coming up in June and see what kind of different way he's going to approach that.
Now, if you were the general manager, Bill, what would you do? I mean, if you're falling out, if you're in last place in the middle of the season, are you going to trade Madison Bumgarner?
I am a big Madison Bumgarner fan, Joe. I don't want to see him leave. I just think when I look at all the freedom pitchers, he is in the top of the line. And you can tell me, oh, he's not getting enough runs, he's earning runs. The guy is a battler. He's a contender. He's the guy you want to be the ace on your staff. I just hope the Giants don't let him go unless they want to re-sign him right after because he'll be a free agent. But he's that guy that I've always watched just as well as you did, and I just love watching him compete. And his last outing against the Dodgers, I thought he threw the ball the best so far this year.
Yeah, I'm with you there. All right, before I let you go, I wanted to talk a little bit about the early days of your Giants career because it's near and dear to my heart when you were first on the San Francisco Giants back in the 80s and, you know, 1982 when you made your debut. That team had so many guys that we all love to watch, any Giants fan, you know, the Jack Clarks of the world and Chili Davis and Darrell Evans and even my our personal favorite, me and my buddies, we loved Max Venable. For some reason, we loved him coming off the bench, and you know the pitchers like yourself and Atlee Hammaker and Moonman Minton. That was really an interesting team, wasn't it?
It was a fun team, and as you said, that was my rookie year. So when I came up, I had to learn new faces and get to know what I needed to do to stay in the big leagues. And Frank Robinson gave me an opportunity after Alan Foulkes hurt his elbow. And I got a shot to start. And from there on, I threw 30 or more starts up and just had a sensational rookie year. And there was no fear once I got up there. And it was just something that I fought for every start. I just didn't want to get sent down. And it worked out really well. We went all down to the last game when Joe hit the home run. And my big trivia question is, who started that game? And that trivia question was Fernando versus Lasky, and it was a good game. It was a fun game to pitch. I gave up a 2-run home run to Ron Say, and we ended up battling it to get it to tie it, and Joe hit the 2-run home run to win it. But it was an exciting time for me, and I'll never forget that year. That was a 1 year as a rookie that I did everything right. Rookie of the year on Topps Baseball Digest and all the accolades that went with it.
Yeah, for people who don't remember, that was such an emotional series against the Dodgers because, you know, going into it, it was Giants, Dodgers, Braves, all with a chance to win the division, and you guys lost that Friday game to the Dodgers, a Rick Monday home run. I'll never forget because I was there at Candlestick that night. I had driven up from Southern California from college to go watch that, and it was crazy because, you know, there was the emotion of that, but then the emotion, like you said, of the Joe Morgan home run in the game you started.
Well, that Friday night, Fred Breining started that game, and we were battling with him. The ballpark was just packed, and they loaded up the bases. We had Al Holland warming up in the bullpen, and Frank walked out there, and everybody in our dugout stood up and going, oh, Freddie, nice game, blah, blah, blah. We had the lead. And he turned around and walked off the mound, and we're like, you're leaving Fred Breining in the game with bases loaded and Al Holland's up? And they just announced Rick Monday, and we're like, what are you doing, Frank? And sure enough, I think it was the first or second pitch, he hit it like in the upper deck. I mean, he hit a grand slam. And then next day, I think we lost like 16-2. We got shelled on Saturday. And it turned into Sunday's game where Atlanta was playing San Diego, and Atlanta won. So L.A. had to beat us to tie them. And if we beat L.A., we knocked L.A. out. So, of course, we did, and Atlanta won the division. But that whole weekend, one guy, one person, you know, and who knows what would have happened if Al Holland would have come in that game. If we would have swept them, we would have won the division.
Yeah, wow. It's interesting to think back.
It was fun stuff. It was fun.
All right, so you're on KMBR these days, NBC Sports Bay Area. How much are you enjoying being, you know, part of the media? And as we talked about a little bit with the Sacramento RiverCats on their telecast.
I'm enjoying it. I'm blessed to do all three. I love doing KMBR with Vita Blue. We bring in a lot of players in our era, old-time baseball stories, We just had Marty Brenneman on. What a classic guy he is.
Yeah.
And told some great stories. And, you know, and then I get to do the bios and try to find out a little bit of information that they don't know I'm going to discuss. And it was great. We had Raleigh Eastwick on. And I'll tell you what, this Saturday, we're doing it again. And I just booked Johnny Bench today.
Wow,
so I'm really thrilled. I'm really thrilled to have him on. Jeff Brantley's going to join us also. So just some good names, good storytelling. And I tell you what, a lot of people enjoy listening to old baseball stories, especially when you get some names that we've had on the air. But that's been fun. And, of course, NBC, I've been doing that to start of my ninth year. I recall so many good things in the beginning, two World Series, the playoffs, the parades. I'll never forget all that. And a good crew of people, and congratulate you. For you too, and joining a crew, and hopefully you all see a little bit more in there. But it's just been fun, and people go, "Don't you have a full time job?" And I go, "No, I got about 5 part time jobs."
That's exactly what it is. Yeah,
that's about it. As long as I got my schedule in front of me, Joe, I'm all right.
Well, look forward to hearing you, seeing you. Yeah, hopefully we'll work together a little bit over there at NBC, and for sure I want to get you back on the podcast later on this season. This has been fun.
Always good talking to you, my friend, and we'll see you down the road. And good luck with this. You're doing a great job. I love listening to him.
That's Bill Lasky. Join us again next week for another edition of Inside China Basin. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.